everybody. Bob Claster here, and I'm your host for Funny Stuff, half an hour of comedy that airs every Friday night here on KCRW. And one thing left over from last week that I wanted to mention is that last week's show was made possible because a listener wrote to me and said that he had a wonderful collection of old 78s, and he wanted to share them with the audience. If you out there have a wonderful collection of comedy records of any type and any speciality, drop me a line. Let me know. If you're knowledgeable on the subject, we can do the same thing. You can come down and talk about them or whatever. But, don't keep these things to yourself. And the things that I'm not keeping to myself this week is my collection of records having to do with the old Steve Allen show on television. Not only was Steve marvelous on the show, but there was a terrific collection of other brilliant comic minds involved. And we'll be hearing from not only Steve, but some of the others involved, including Don Knotts, Louis Nye, and Bill Dana. The other one that immediately comes to mind is Tom Poston, and I have nothing of his on record, but I do have Steve Allen, Louis Nye, Bill Dana, and Don Knotts. We'll be hearing from them today, in addition to perhaps one of the silly phone calls that were made from the old Steve Allen show. So let's begin with Steve Allen himself with a piece which is very popular here on KCRW, and with very good reason. It's and I'm playing it off of the original 45, I'll have you know. Steve Allen's What is a Frame?
I wonder how many of us in these troubled times ever take time out from our busy work days to ask the question, what is a frame? Well, frames are found in the strangest places. In your cryle, on the phone, from the Firth of Forth to the Straits of Magellan, in cesspools, in filter tips, near your bird, and playing on your heartstrings. A frame likes trade school, turnip greens, ace brigade, chicken wire, salami, goo goo dolls, Mrs. Sterling, birdseed pudding, and other frames. A frame hates cubila, clarinet reeds, fricassee of beaks and claws, turkey wattles, protozoa, anthracite, income taxes, or pain of headache, neuritis, neuralgia. Nothing else can come home so frail, crove up the dell of a good Bertrand so often, or lose so many file saws. A frame is dignity with a stall in its fame, bronchitis with a frog in its throat, and stupidity with a bone in its mouth. What is a frame made of? Well, it takes the strength of a lion, the wool of a lamb, the back of your hand, the night of the hunter, the top of the mark, the last of the Mohicans, and the hair of the dog. There are several ways to get a frame. Advertise in the paper, jump in the lake, blues in the night, or punch in the mouth. Mothers-in-law don't particularly stale for frames. Traffic cops grab them, little boys eat them, and Bennett Surf lifts them. But, you know, when you get home in the afternoon after a long, tiring day's work, when you're tired and weary and worn and sick and miserable and dirty and crummy and shaking and nervous and frightened and panicky and drunk and raggedy and rotten and staggering and reeling and rolling in the gutter. Oh, when you come home and sit down in your easy chair and that little frame jumps up on the bridge of your nose and sits there and stares at you, why, I tell you, friends, it just kind of makes life worthwhile to hear those three little words, you're under arrest. And when the sun goes down and the tide goes out, and the people gather round and they all begin to shout, hey, hey, Uncle Dud, it's a treat to beat your frame on the Mississippi mud. Yes, if you can keep your frame when all about you are losing theirs and blaming it on you, if you can ask yourself what kind of a day has it been, then you'll know that a boom is only a ding-dong, but a good cigar is a frame.
Every large industry spends millions of dollars a year in advertising, and currently one of our oldest and largest industry has decided to join the parade. So I take you now to Madison Avenue and the offices of JBV&O, where a spokesman for their newest client is addressing the organization.
Thank you very much. I want you to know that I'm very happy to have your agency handling the advertising for my organization, the Mafia. I can't spend too much time talking to you. To tell you the truth, I'm not supposed to be in this country in the first place. Little difficulty there. We'll get it straightened out. Now, as you all know, my organization is involved in many different areas. There's slot machines, bookmaking, protection, and of course, our most lucrative venture, the management of Italian singers. Now, a lot of people got the wrong idea about us, so we want to give you guys a chance to create a good corporate image. Get the people to look upon us as missionaries. Whose sole purpose in life is to bring complete happiness to all the peoples of the world and the UN. Regardless of the races and the creeds. Now, this may seem impossible, but we can do it. We can make everybody happy because we got what it takes. Narcotics. Now, if anybody that's sitting out there's a worthy idea, let us jab it with an ice pick and tie it to a slot machine and throw it in the East River to see if it floats. How about that? 2 days here with you guys in Madison, and I learned it. Raise your hand if you want to talk. Okay. You at the end of the table with a tight jacket buttoned to your Adam's apple.
Well, thank you, sir. I think it would be a great help in keeping the organization's trademark before the public eye if we could persuade Dinah Shore that when she throws that kiss at the end of her show, she should do it with a black hand.
That's an excellent idea. I like Dinah Shore. I think she's a sweet, marvelous person. She sings a great song, and her husband is a nice guy, makes a nice bedroom set. Thank you, Eight Buttons. Okay, you over there, the slender boy, the skinny suit guy. You want to say something?
Sir, I have a notion. How about sitting you down at an East Side bar to see if it scores?
All right, suddenly last summer, let's hear it.
Well, sir, it's a slogan, and it goes like this. I dreamed I danced with Lucky in my maiden form bra.
I dreamed I danced. Oh, gee. It's not bad, Hot Lips. All right, fellas, that's about it. Good luck with the campaign. I gotta run now because I want to be home in time to watch The Untouchables. They're doing my story tonight. And I want to see if I die in the end. Bye.
I don't know about you people, but I never turn my TV set off until after I've watched the late news and weather report, and I never cease to marvel at the poise and assurance of the weatherman. After all, there's absolutely no pressure on him. The actual weather forecast is compiled by a competent meteorologist and passed to him to relate to the viewers. So even if the forecast is wrong, he can never be blamed, you see. So naturally, he's quite at ease before the cameras. However, I wonder just how calm and poised he would be if the weather report didn't show up in time. Let's look at this man under these circumstances.
You still haven't gotten through to the Weather Bureau? Oh, Herb, I've got to get through. What am I going to do? I can't stand out here and stall for 5 minutes. I mean, this is a weather forecast. I'm not an entertainer. Please, I've only got 5 seconds. Can you please get through? Can you? Good evening. hello, everyone, and welcome to your 11:10 weather forecast, as it's brought to you every evening at 11:10 at this same time. The present temperature is degrees. The wind is coming from the wind is coming from the window, isn't it? Hey, close that window back there. See, it's heated here in the studio, so we have no way of telling actually what the weather is outside. Well, we have ways. You don't have anything yet. Well, let's just take a little look here at the map. Well, there she is, go USA! This is Florida. And way over here to the west, of course, is California. Let's just pencil that in. California there. And, of course, you do get varying degrees and temperatures in those different areas. I was born right in here. That's West Virginia there, and I'll bet it's really cold down there now, Herb. Really cold in West Virginia about now, huh? He doesn't know. Anyway, I think we are expecting a front end backed up by another front and front of a back there. Well, actually, this is the front here, and the back is in the back. That reminds me of a little story about this fella who said to his friend, "I understand you're doing very well by your gambling casino." And his friend said, "No, the gambling casino is just the front. In the back is a candy store." Of course, I mean, I'm not a comedian or anything. I do like to get my licks in. The least you could do is laugh it up, Herb. Anyway, speaking of weather, as we are here tonight, the other day my little boy was asked by his teacher to spell weather, and he spelled it W-A-N-T-H-E-R, and that's just about the worst spell of weather we've had in a long time. Oh, boy. Can you get me an old report, Herb? Give me an old one. Another day. Any day. Doesn't matter. Quick. Another. Can I have it? Okay. Thanks, sir. Oh, here's the bulletin, folks. Just came in. Heavy snowfalls are predicted in the Valley Forge area. Troop movements have been halted by General Washington. That's not funny. That's not funny. Are you leaving? Are you leaving, Herb? Don't leave. Would you check and see if it's raining? Oh, well, never mind. Well, Fred is still here. Good old Fred. You'll stay with me, won't you, Fred? Anyway, folks, we'll be right back after this message from our sponsor.
What?
No. Well, we seem to no longer have a sponsor.
That was Don Knotts, and before that we heard Louie Nye, and before that we heard Steve Allen. If you just joined us, we're saluting the old Steve Allen Show and its regulars. And one of the regular bits on the Steve Allen Show was a bit by Bill Dana, in which he played a person of Hispanic descent of one kind or another by the name of Jose Jimenez. And if you weren't around in 1961 to realize what an incredible national craze this was, you might not really get this. But anyhow, it's sort of interesting to listen to in a number of ways. There were about four or five phrases from this routine that became catchphrases and were on everyone's lips, and for a brief period in 1961. It's probably one of the dozen or so most successful comedy records of all times. And so let's listen to Jose Jimenez, the astronaut.
How do you do, sir? May we have your name?
My name, Jose Jimenez.
And you're the chief astronaut with the United States Interplanetary Expeditionary Force?
I am the chief astronaut. With the United States in the planet. But my name is Jose Jimenez.
Mr. Jimenez, could you tell us a little about your spacesuit?
Yes. It's very uncomfortable.
How much did the spacesuit cost?
That spacesuit cost
$18,000. $18,000?
Yeah.
That seems rather expensive.
Well, it has two pair of pants. So that's only $9,000.
Yes. Uh-huh. I've been noticing this, Mr. Jimenez. What is this called? A crash helmet?
Oh, I hope not.
What are the physical qualities that they look for in an astronaut?
The physical quality they look for in the astronaut. You got to have the perfect hearing. You got to have the perfect vision. You got to have the normal blood pressure. You got to have four legs.
You have to have four legs?
Yeah, they were going to send a dog, but they thought that would be too cruel.
Now tell me, Jose.
I'll tell you, Jose.
Tell me.
Yes, I'll tell you. You just ask me and I tell you.
All right. Were you a participant at any of the rocket launchings at Cape Canaveral?
I was a participant at any of the rocket launchings at Cape Canaveral. I was there when they opened the door into the nose cone. They took that mouth and they put that mouth inside the nose cone. Then they closed the door on that little mouse. I don't want to talk about it.
Oh, Mr. Mendes, please, let's try to continue here. I want to ask you, what is the most important thing in rocket travel?
To me, the most important thing in the rocket travel is the blast off.
The blast off.
I always take a blast before I take off. Otherwise, I wouldn't get in that thing.
Well, after that, what is the procedure in taking off?
The procedure after that in taking off, mm-hmm. You got to put on instead of hydraulic double dynamo reversible booster, you got to activate the decompression activator, and you got to put on the anti-magnetic decousing system.
And then you're really up there.
No, that opens the door. And lets out that little mouth.
Let's talk about the rockets themselves.
Well, I had trouble once with one of the rockets.
At Cape Canaveral?
No, at the Radio City Music Hall. Something about separate maintenance.
Yes.
I don't know.
Let's change the subject.
Okay, if you know how.
Let's talk about the actual rocket trip.
Okay.
By the way, do you know it's costing the government $7 billion... to send you on this trip into outer space?
That's not my fault. I told them I was willing to go tourist. And they said it's such a long trip, go first class, and that's what adds up.
Okay, do you think the...
Overweight baggage, you know.
Do you think there will be life on Mars?
Maybe if I land on a Saturday night. Something might be happening. Otherwise, I'm going to bring a book.
That's something I wanted to ask you about, Mr. Jimenez. Of course, it's a very long trip into outer space.
Yes, it's a long trip, Bob.
And I just wonder what you'll do to entertain yourself during those long, lonely, solitary hours when you're all by yourself.
Well, I plan to cry a lot.
I would imagine that food is a major problem on a trip into outer space.
I would imagine that food is a major problem on a trip into outer space. And it is, you know. They only allowed you to have the 10 ounces of food.
Only 10 ounces of food?
That's right.
Well, how will you manage?
I'll eat out.
After you've been into outer space, Mr. Jimenez, and you return to Earth,
yes.
Where will you be landing?
I am going to be landing in Nevada.
In the state of Nevada?
In the state of Nevada.
Then you're convinced that they'll get you back to Earth?
I am convinced that they will get me back to Earth.
Good.
Just how far into it? That's what I'm not convinced about.
Well, surely they've made some provisions to break your fall.
To break my fall?
Yes.
Sure, Nevada.
Well, Mr. Jimenez, I think you're certainly to be congratulated for this very, very dangerous undertaking.
Well, don't say undertaking.
Mission. This very dangerous mission.
That's a better choice of words.
And before you go...
Don't even say go.
Before that, I just wonder if there are a few words that you'd like to say to the people of the United States.
Yeah, there are a few words that I'd like to say.
Please go ahead.
People of the United States. People of the United States, America. Please don't let them do this to me.
And last, we'll listen to one of the silly phone calls that they made on the Steve Allen Show, much the way I think Rick Dees does today. And here it features a marvelous performance by Jerry Lewis. They were calling a caterer in Chicago.
Hello.
Hello, Mr. Siegel?
Yes.
Oh, wonderful. Just a minute, sir.
Hello, Mr. Siegel.
Yeah?
This is Murray Resin.
Murray?
Murray Resin.
Resin, yeah?
R-E-S-S-N.
Yeah.
Would you get that down right, Mr. Siegel? I was told to call you Bart Sewell, recall?
Are you from Columbia?
That's right.
Okay, what can I do for you?
If you recall, we had the party 2 years ago for the entire affair.
The which affair?
Your affair that you did for us 2 years ago. It was beautiful, Mr. Siegel. Just beautiful. You recall the Drake's cake and all of that?
Yeah.
Wonderful. Now, Mr. Siegel, we're going to have this affair next Saturday night.
Yeah.
Now, can you handle it? It's going to be for 40 people.
The coming Saturday night?
No, any Saturday you choose.
Uh-huh. Where would you like it?
Well, we would prefer to have a stand-up rather than a sit-down.
Uh-huh.
Could we have it at the store?
Which store?
Your store.
In my restaurant, you mean?
I beg your pardon?
In my restaurant?
No, I'd rather have it at the store, Mr. Siegel. We have a lot of money to spend.
Yeah.
And we'd like to throw it your way. You get the picture, sweetie?
Yeah.
Right. Now, what do you say Saturday? Is that all right?
Which Saturday?
You name it.
In 3 weeks around?
Fine, that'll be great.
When can you come and see me?
We can be there Saturday.
When can you come to see me?
I say we can come in Saturday.
Saturday I'm closed.
All right, then we won't have the party.
Why not?
Well, how do we get in?
Which Saturday?
You name it.
I mean, you want a Saturday to make
What's
a party
the difference?
In my restaurant?
It's your celebration, you know what I mean?
What?
I say whatever you want to do. Why shouldn't you enjoy it?
I see.
What does it run?
It's a question of which Saturday and when...
Anyone that follows Friday. I don't particularly care.
You don't want it this Sunday or Monday. You want it...
That's it. We'll have it Saturday, Sunday, and Monday.
All right. All right.
Actually, it's a celebration, you know, for the famine.
For the family.
Yeah, no, the famine that we had. We're celebrating that it's over, and we'd like to go right through like the Romans and then just give it all up and start over again. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Now, what would you say it would cost, Mr. Siegel?
About $5.50.
For the 40 people?
Yeah, a person.
Wait a minute. Now, hold it a minute.
Yeah.
Now, I was told that you were reputable and that you knew your business.
Yeah.
Now, don't pull any of that on me, baby.
No, I'm not pulling
you nothing. Said $5.40, right?
$5.50 a person.
Now it became a person. I told you it was 40 people.
40 people will be 200 and...
Wait a minute. Hold it. Hold it.
Yeah.
I can add, Mr. Siegel.
Yeah.
You said 540.
540 a person?
No. You first said 540. Now, I have already told them all we're going.
Yeah.
But not for 540 a person.
No, how much?
540 for the whole party.
$5.40 for the whole party?
Well, what are you... Didn't you hear the president with inflation? What are you trying to build?
All right. So,
let me
like
ask you this.
Myself.
All right, let's say 540 is fine.
Yeah.
Per person.
Yeah.
Right. Now, when can you be there?
Where can I be where?
At the party.
At the party?
Yeah.
Anytime you want it.
All right, why don't you come over now and we can start?
No, right now I can't come over and start.
All right, let me ask you this. Will you have all of the stuff?
All of the stuff? I always have all of the stuff.
Fine. Now, we'd like to start with as much garish food as we can.
All right.
You understand? None of that lox and pastrami jazz. We're having enough trouble. You know, the Arabian problem is still pretty hot.
Yeah.
Is that clear?
It's always clear.
All right, then I'll tell you what. Why don't we meet in the morning?
Which morning?
At your place.
When?
I say, why don't we meet in the morning?
And which morning would you like?
Well, you name it.
Any morning you like.
All right, what about tomorrow?
Tomorrow morning? I'm possible tomorrow morning.
You're possible tomorrow?
No.
Well, I'm impossible tomorrow myself. What about tomorrow?
Tomorrow night?
In the morning.
In the morning?
What time?
Yeah, I'm about 10:30 in the morning.
10:30, I have an appointment with Sid and Bert. We're going to talk about the other affair. What about 11:30 tomorrow?
11:30 in the morning?
Tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night, impossible. Friday night?
Friday night. I can't make it Friday night. What about tomorrow morning?
Tomorrow morning?
What time?
About 10:30 in the morning.
I can't make it. What about tomorrow night?
Tomorrow night, impossible.
Impossible tomorrow night. I'm busy, too. What about Friday?
Friday? Which Friday would you like?
Which Friday do you want?
Which Friday would you like?
Which Friday do you want?
In 3 weeks or not?
In 3 weeks, we have to prepare for it, Mr. Siegel. Right?
Yeah.
We have to prepare for it.
That's right.
I tell you what, why don't I call you?
Okay,
what's your number?
Which number? DE25152 Siegel, Scotia.
Now, wait a moment. That's DE Siegel's what?
DE2.
Oh, DE.
2.
DE.
2.
For me? Did you say D-E-U?
D-E-2.
Oh, well, just hold it. Let me get a pencil.
Yeah, get a pencil.
All right, you start.
D-E-2.
You have a pencil?
I have always.
All right, take this down.
Yeah.
Wait, Mr. Siegel.
Yes?
Why don't you take my number?
What is your number, please?
Dearborn 2.
Yeah?
5152.
5152, that's my number.
That's how I got you. All right, I'll tell you. No. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm all mixed up. Do you have a pencil?
Why are you mixed up?
Well, because I have these numbers written down.
Oh, okay. I have a pencil with me.
Do you have a pencil?
Yes.
All right. You'll say Ticonderoga?
What?
Does your pencil say Ticonderoga on it?
Yes, anytime.
All right, fine. Then why don't we bring that to the party?
Okay, we will.
All right. Now take my number down, would you?
Yes.
Dearborn.
Yeah.
What is your number again?
The same thing.
No, what is your number, Mr.
Dearborn.
Dearborn, yes. That's
D-E-A-R-B-U-R-N. That's right.
D-Burn?
2.
What is it?
2.
All right, go ahead.
5152.
2525.
Oh, 5152.
Hello, Mr. Yes. Siegel. You were talking when I was talking.
Yes.
Let me try that again. It's Dearborn 2.
Yes.
1551.
5152.
No, 5125, is it?
No, 5152.
Hello, who is this?
Yeah.
Who's this?
Mr. Siegel.
How are you?
Fine.
All right, I'll tell you what. You call me. You got my number?
Yes, D-E-2.
No, you have my number?
Not yet.
All right, I'll tell you what you do.
Yeah.
You want my number?
Yes.
You get it for me at the party.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh,
yes. Mr. Siegel,
don't
hang up.
Yeah.
This is a television program calling you, sir.
From where? From where?
This is the Steve Allen Show.
Oh, the Steve Allen Show from New York.
We moved out about 4 years ago, sir.
Yes.
Now, and we're on the West Coast now, but... Regardless of where we are calling you, sir, and we're very indebted to you. Do you have any idea? You know who you were talking to the last few minutes?
I don't know to whom I was talking the last few minutes. I would like to know.
All right. President Kennedy, sir. No, I'm just joking. That was Jerry Lewis.
Jerry Lewis. I'm glad to speak to Jerry Lewis. Whenever any time he's in Chicago, he can visit my restaurant, Siegel's Kosher Restaurant, the only kosher restaurant in the world.
I love the fact that the guy gets his plug in at the end. It's just wonderful. Anyhow, that's going to do it for this edition of Funny Stuff featuring Steve Allen and his friends. Let's see. One thing before I forget. I know that I've mentioned this before, but it's back again. And if there's even one person that has yet to see the Fawlty Towers shows, it'll be worth my mentioning that KCET is showing them again, I believe, on Sunday evenings. I'm not sure. Check your TV guide, but they are not to be missed. They're absolutely superb comedy. Anyhow, let's see. Next week's show is going to be a strange one again. We'll be listening to Unintentional Humor. These are records that I find very funny, which I hope you will find very funny, but which were not intended as such. So, I got sound effects records and magic shows on records, ESP records, all sorts of very strange and wonderful things. And I hope you enjoy it. It should be fun for me, at least. That's going to about do it. Next week's show is the Unintentional Humor. This is your host, Bob Claster, thanking you for listening and reminding you, as you're out there on your Nautilus machines and jogging and on your bicycles and stuff, not to forget to keep that sense of humor well exercised, because you never know when you're going to need it. Good night, everybody.